Certainly it's good to see each one here this morning. We do have quite a few visitors with us today, and we're happy for that. Hope that you can come back and be with us when you have that opportunity. This being an upcoming holiday weekend, we know that there's going to be a lot of folks that will be traveling about, and we want to keep them in our prayers that God will grant them safety and bring them back to us again after the holidays are over. You know, the holiday that we are approaching this week is called Thanksgiving. Now, we've all pretty much established a tradition for how to celebrate this holiday. Basically, we get together with family and friends and pig out. Then we sit around for a few hours in the afternoon watching football on television until just enough of our food is digested so we can have another meal of cold turkey sandwiches. And then on Friday, well, it used to be on Friday. Now it was in the middle of the night on Friday, and then it became right after Thanksgiving, dinner is over with. But we venture out and we fight the crowd at the mall on the first and the heaviest shopping day for the next holiday, which is Christmas. Now, while none of that may be wrong in itself, it has nothing to do with the intended purpose of Thanksgiving. I'm sure we're all pretty familiar with the story of that first Thanksgiving, how the pilgrims of the Plymouth Plantation gathered for a day of giving thanks in 1621. You know, I recently read some interesting facts that I was not all that aware of. Apparently, 1620 had been an extremely hard year. There had been bad weather and failed crops and disease. Many of those original founders of the colony had died. There was a rapidly growing opinion that they should just give up and return to England. During this time, they had designated many days for fasting and prayer. And they determined to do so once more in late October of 1621. But an older godly colonist challenged their thinking. And he said to them, although it certainly was time that they had had hard times, that God had blessed them. This year, it appeared as if there was going to be food, and it would be more plentiful than it had been. And although many had died, there were many others who had been blessed with children. And above all, they now possessed that for which all of the sacrifice they had made was worthwhile, and that was their religious freedom. And so the time, he said, was not for fasting and mourning, but rather it was a time to celebrate and to give thanks to God. So that is the purpose of the last Thursday in November has been set aside as a day to reflect upon God's blessings and give thanks to Him. But I wonder sometimes how much thanking God will really be a part of Thanksgiving in America in 2014. I expect very little. The simple truth is we're not going to do something on a designated day in November that is not a part of our daily life. As a matter of fact, gratitude and the giving of thanks for many is not. The attitude of ingratitude is nothing new. This morning in the text that we have read together from Luke the 17th chapter, we found that there was an example of that in the ministry of Jesus, and even he was shocked. Jesus encountered 10 men who were afflicted with leprosy. Now, leprosy was a terrible disease. It perhaps was the AIDS of the first century. People who had it suffered excruciatingly. They had open sores and rotting flesh. Because it was contagious, people feared them, and they were outcast. They were not allowed to mingle with other people. Because it was incurable, they had no hope. And so when Jesus saw them, they would have been standing afar off because they were not allowed to walk on the road when other people were there. They would have been shouting the warning, unclean, as they were required by the law. Now, knowing his reputation for healing, or at least for compassion, they pleaded with Jesus to have mercy on them. So Jesus told them to show themselves to the priest. And as they were on their way, they were healed. But of all of those who were healed, as we read in verses 15 and 16 that only one of them returned, glorified God, and fell on his knees before Jesus and gave thanks. Now, the Bible is a positive book. Jesus praised the faith and the graciousness of the man who had returned to give thanks. But he also said in wonder, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Now, what is your reaction when you read such an account? It's hard for us to imagine such ingratitude. But it shouldn't be, because we experience it every day. I'm sure that you have experienced it. There has been a time when you have gone out of your way, that you have sacrificed to do something nice for someone, only to realize that after they accepted your gesture, they did not really appreciate it. They did not thank you for it. But I'm sure that there have also been times when you and I have been guilty of the same. How do people develop such a spirit of thanklessness? I think that there are those who are led to believe that people owe them. A few years ago, about this time of year, I read an interesting story about a man who owned a small company which employed about 200 people. And one thing that he would do every year to express his appreciation to them, every year at holiday season, he would give them a coupon for a free turkey at the local grocery store. But after doing that for 10 years, he stopped when he learned that about a third of the people that had received that coupon had exchanged it for other merchandise, many times beer and cigarettes. A third of those coupons that he had given out went unredeemed. And after giving away nearly 2,000 coupons, only a handful ever thanked him for the gift. That's ingratitude. Of course, when he stopped giving them, then he heard from several of them asking why they did not receive their turkey this year. Ingratitude is one of the most unloving, selfish, and cruel attitudes that men possess. And one of the saddest things about it is that it is generally directed toward those who love you and have given and done for you more than anyone else. But the greatest ingratitude of all is that which is directed toward God. Yet many of us who are offended by the ingratitude of others and who would not think of taking things from others without expressing thanks show a tremendous lack of gratitude toward God. Now, it may be that we go to church and we give thanks when we sit down at the dinner table every night, but that is no proof that we really have a grateful heart. Sometimes our ingratitude shows itself in more subtle ways, such as when, regardless of how much God has blessed us with, we always feel dissatisfied. We always want more. Our ingratitude toward God is expressed when we complain. Our ingratitude toward God is expressed when we are so preoccupied with the trials and the struggles that we face in this life and very seldom think of the blessings. Our ingratitude toward God is expressed when we are pessimistic about the future because we fail to recognize what God has done for us and is doing for us now and in the past. Our ingratitude toward God shows when we are jealous of those that we think, we perceive, have been given more than we have. So each one of us need to examine our hearts. Can these attitudes at times be found in you or in me? Someone has said gratitude is the heart's memory. It is to always remember, always appreciate what God has done for you. Ingratitude is just the opposite. It is to forget. Surely, God does not like to be forgotten. It hurts Him just like it hurts any father. In Isaiah, the first chapter, God chastened the Israelites for their thanklessness to Him by saying, "The ox knows its owner, and the donkey knows its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider." In other words, The prophet said, even dumb animals realize where their blessings have come from. But many times people do not. Many times people take what God gives them for granted, or worse, they think that they have provided all of these things for themselves. An ungrateful person is one who is falling away from God. In Romans, the first chapter, Paul not only categorizes all of the many sins that people fall into, he also expresses the reason why. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, he says, because although they know God, they do not glorify Him as God, neither are they thankful. Why do people live the way that they're living? Why do they reject God? Why do they ignore what God has done in their life? Well, simply because they're unthankful. That's how serious of a matter ingratitude is in the mind of God. So how can we develop a proper spirit of gratitude so that God may never think the same of us? Well, this morning I would like to look at some of the steps towards developing an attitude of gratitude. First of all, we must be thankful. I know that that sounds redundant. It sounds a little bit trite, but it is certainly the first step. How many of us really are? How many of us truly appreciate the many blessings that we have been given? How many of us even stop to think about those blessings? With the worldwide media being what it is, it shouldn't be hard for us to be very aware that we, each of us, even the poorest among us, are so much wealthier than the vast majority of the world. And so while we are enjoying our Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday, half of the world's population will be hungry. Now, we're always quick to say, but I'm not rich. But when we compare ourselves to so many, indeed we are, the majority of people in the world live in a dwelling place with an extended family in a room of similar size to perhaps your living room or maybe your bedroom, without indoor plumbing or electricity, without personal transportation or adequate medical care. The majority of the people in the world see nearly half of the babies die before reaching adulthood. Have you ever just stopped to think, why? Why did God seem fit to so bless me? Why was I born into a land of freedom and opportunity and plenty? When we look at the poverty in the world, truly, we can say, but there, but for the grace of God, go I. And our blessings certainly are not all of a material nature. God has blessed us in so many ways. Has God blessed you with health? Well, you say, it's not as good as what it used to be, or it's not as good as I wish it was. But if you are here today and able to be here today, then you will have to say that God has blessed me. Has He provided you with a close family, with a good home? Look at those who are so much less fortunate. A spirit of gratitude develops from a practice of majoring in the positive. Instead of being preoccupied on all of the things in our life that haven't gone the way that we wanted them to, think about all of the things in our life that went much better than they should. Instead of thinking about all of those things that you cannot do, think of all of those things that you can do. Not very long ago, when a house was being built for one of our veterans who had lost their mobility in battle. In fact, they were had lost both of their legs. One of their arms was pretty much unusable to them. And so there were loving people in that community that had built a home for him that would provide assistance and all of those things that needed after he made that tremendous sacrifice for us. And I heard somebody bemoaning the fact, boy, I'd like to have a house like that. I'd like somebody to build me a house like that. Do you really not think that the man who received that attention, who received that help, would not have gladly given that up to be able to walk about and have the strength to work that the person that was being critical had? Instead of being envious of what others have that you don't, think of the many people who would gladly change places with you. A spirit of gratitude develops from being patient and realizing that God's greatest blessings come to those who wait. And so even though there may be things in my life that may not be good, God has promised that He will make everything work together for my good if I love and serve Him. And there will be a time that if we don't faint, if we don't lose our faith or trust in God, that we will be able to look back and to say, God's blessings have never stopped. And really, they never have. A spirit of gratitude develops from having our priorities right, from realizing that the spiritual blessings are the most important. To have love and joy and peace and salvation means more than anything in the world. And that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. And so if we are going to develop an attitude of gratitude, first of all, we must be thankful. Secondly, not only should we be thankful for what we have, we must realize that everything we have has been given to us by God. James said in James 1 and verse 17, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Do we realize the source of every blessing that we have? Certainly no one will be grateful until he is first of all humble. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul said in essence, what do you have that you've not been given? We like to say, well, I'm a self-made man. I don't have anything that I have not provided for myself. There is no such thing as a self-made man. Everything that we have by the grace of God. Paul said, what do you have that you've not been given? Well, I've worked hard. Well, God has given you the health. He's given you the ability. He has given you the freedom. He has given you the opportunity. What do you have that you've not been given? And Paul said, since you've been given it, then what do you have to boast about? You know, of all the things that we can be thankful for and all the things that we can take pride in, the essential one is all of those things that God has done for us. God is a loving and generous God. There's nothing wrong with having material blessings. And in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, Paul said, He gives us richly all things to enjoy. And so there's nothing wrong with material blessings as long as we realize where those blessings have come from. And we use those blessings in such a way that brings glory to Him. Job certainly had the right spirit. Even when he lost everything that he had, he recognized that he had been an undeserving benefactor of everything to begin with. So he did not curse God for what he had lost. Instead, he thanked God for what he had received. When it is all said and done, Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb. And naked will I return thither. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A spirit of gratitude develops by being able to look by faith and see God's blessings in everything that happens. I was reading an old story that was written by a man who grew up being cared for by a black nanny. He'd grown up in the South. And during the years that he had grown up, this was not that unusual. But he loved her dearly and kept in touch with her all of his life. And the thing that most impressed him, he said, about her was the way that she prayed. And so when she sat down to eat, even if she had only a potato or two and some beans, she would say, thank you, Lord, for providing my food today. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not hungry. And she told her children, the children that she raised, the children that were just as close to her as her own, that this is the way she faced every day. She said that she would lay in bed and begin to think, what do I have to be thankful for today? She said that she would begin a list in bed before she even would rise in the morning. And then she would continue adding to that list the rest of the day. Well, the last time the man saw her, she was old and feeble and sick. and soon to die, and he wondered what blessing she would thank God for today. Well, she looked up at him and said, "Thank you, Lord, for such wonderful friends who have loved me to the end." God's blessings never stop flowing to those who love and serve Him. We can certainly see them when times are good, but when we look closely, we can also see them in difficult times. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, Paul said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And so if we're to develop an attitude of gratitude, first of all, we must be thankful. Secondly, we must recognize our blessings. Thirdly, if we want to develop a true attitude of gratitude, we must express our thanks. You know, I've heard people say about the 10 men who were healed of their leprosy by Jesus that only one of them was thankful. Well, I don't believe that for a minute. How could somebody be spared from the jaws of suffering and death and not been thankful? Certainly each one of these men knew that they had been blessed and were glad. But only one returned to say so. And so true gratitude is not just what you feel in your heart. Gratitude is not real unless and until it is expressed. If you're not grateful enough when others do something for you to tell them, then you're really not thankful. And if you don't tell God that you love Him and that you appreciate Him and you are thankful to Him, then really you're not. Notice how many of the passages that speak of the worship and praise that we offer to God that dwell upon the importance of thanksgiving. Many of them are found in the Psalms. Psalm 26, verses 6 and 7, the writer said, "I will go to your altar, O Lord, that I might proclaim the voice of thanksgiving and tell of your wondrous works." Psalm 69 and verse 30, "I will praise the name of God with a song, magnify Him with thanksgiving." Psalm 95 and verse 2, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms." The true meaning of worship is thanking God. Why do we, or at least should we, begin teaching our children, even when they are very small, to say thank you? Well, it's more than just a matter of being polite. By being made aware of the many things that people do for them and being expected to express their thanks, they become more thankful. Someone has written, "The more frequent the expression, the more complete the possession." Why does God expect us not just to appreciate what He does for us on the inside, but also to express our gratitude in prayers and in songs and in praise? Because expressing our thanks makes us grow more thankful. A thankful person is one who is growing closer to God. Not only is expressing thanks good for us, it is pleasing to God. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, the writer tells us that giving thanks, that the equivalent, the Christian equivalent to burning incense, is to offer God the fruit of our lips, which is giving thanks to His name. And so if we are to develop an attitude of gratitude, we must be thankful. We must recognize that all of our blessings come from God. We must express our thankfulness. And then finally, we haven't really developed an attitude of gratitude until we begin to share our blessings with others. When we see others who are less fortunate than we are, there are two elements that should automatically fill our hearts, two emotions. The first one is gratitude to a God who has been so good to us, a God who has blessed us so. And secondly, there should be compassion. There should be care and concern for the person who has need. There is no greater ingratitude than the unwillingness to share. To always be the receiver to have our hands outstretched and open, expecting the blessings of God without ever seeing the need or the opportunity to be a blessing in the life of others. John writes in 1 John 3, verses 17 and 18, "Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God dwell in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in thought, but in deed and in truth." Something very interesting happened to me several years ago. As a matter of fact, it was exactly at this time of the year, and I was in my office preparing a lesson very similar to the one that we have been looking at together this morning. As a matter of fact, I think I had just been studying the passage that is referenced on the screen, when a knock came at my door, and there were a couple of individuals, transients, vagrants, perhaps, and they asked me if there was anything that I could give them, whether it be warmer clothes or food or money. My first thought was, is this some kind of a test? You know, I've read that passage, and you have too, about Abraham entertaining angels unawares. And I just wondered, is this some kind of a test? You know, it's easy for us to develop an attitude toward this kind of a situation. It is true that there are many people who are in the situations they are in because they are too lazy to work, or perhaps they have wasted their lives in alcohol and they are addicted to drugs. It is also true that there are many who are dishonest schemers. And I have been taken in my share of times by the guy who had a good line, who had a believable story, only to find out that he was nothing more than a con artist. But I wasn't of a mind to begin judging these men. And so I helped them to box up some food from the pantry. And we found a couple of warmer winter coats that someone had donated and were at the building. And I began to look at them differently. And I had to thank God that I had a home, that I had parents who had brought me up to work and be responsible. I had had the opportunity and the health and the ability and the education to get a job, to work, to support my family. And so I tried to show some real compassion on these men. And as I did, I experienced joy. The joy of being able to share with them. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It will produce greater happiness within us. We have received so much, and we need to share what we have with others. Surely when we share with others who are in need, we come across those who need our help, and we don't care or we refuse to help, then we don't understand or appreciate how many and how greatly God has blessed us. And so this year, we need to make Thanksgiving more than a day. As a Christian, we need to make it our way of life. And so how can we develop this attitude of gratitude, this Thanksgiving in our heart? First of all, count your many blessings. As the song said, name them one by one. Recognize that everything we have has come to us from God. In Him we live and move and have our being. And then express a gratitude toward God for His blessings by sharing those blessings with others. And then, in everything, give thanks. There should be no greater gratitude than the gratitude that is had by a child of God, by one who recognizes that in a world that is lost in sin, a world in which we one times ourselves walked and were separated from God, we were on that broadway that leads to destruction, but because of God's love for us, He gave. God is the greatest giver. He gave us His Son. And Jesus gave His life. He shed His blood so that we might be saved. And in return for what God has given us, we are to give our lives, Paul said in Romans chapter 2, chapter 12, as a living sacrifice unto Him. Christians should be the most grateful people on the face of the earth. It may be that you're here this morning as one who is not yet a Christian. You will have to acknowledge that you have freely shared in every blessing that God has given you, and yet you do not yet know the spiritual blessings of being in Christ. This morning, why don't you make the decision to no longer walk in this world and for this world, but give yourself to the one who gave Himself for you. This morning, if you need to respond to our Lord's invitation, please come while together we stand and while we sing.